You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter, Todd Zielecki. Todd, it's actually a pretty intriguing time to be following the Phillies, as a lot of these guys, they got a lot of guys who are pretty close to the big leagues in this assortment of trades they made, including most notably some starting pitchers. From the guys you've already seen, from Jared Eichhoff, what have you seen from him in a admittedly small number of innings so far?
Well, you know, he's a big guy with a big arm, a lot of talent, and they like him because he's aggressive and he doesn't seem to get rattled too much. I think we saw a little bit of that last night against the Mets where he struggled early, then kind of came on and I think it was, 16 straight batters retired at that point. And this is a Mets team that is pretty much consistently pounded on the Phillies all week here at Citizens Bank Park. So the fact that a kid like that kind of collected himself, went back out there and finished strong, I think got them excited a little bit, you know, because obviously didn't want the alternative, which was he gets beat around. The next thing you know, he's knocked out after three innings, and you're going to the bullpen. So encouraging, yeah, like you said, small sample size, but encouraging at least that he's kind of handled himself well in his first two starts.
It stands out just this is one of my habits on this podcast is warning against scouting the stats and then scouting the stats. But with that said, he really seems to have cut his walks this year. Now, I know you obviously weren't following this guy closely before the last few weeks, but have you heard anything about that from people around the club? This year his walk rate was down in AAA compared to AA, and he has thrown strikes at the big league level. And if you're a big guy with a big arm and you can throw strikes, that's a pretty good start.
It is. You know, nothing specifically about why the walks have gone down, other than they just think he's kind of gaining more experience along the way. So maybe that has something to do with it, just kind of a guy getting maybe a little bit more comfortable with himself out there on the mound. And as that confidence grows, as you go up through the system, you know, you like to see guys that understand the purpose of getting that first pitch strike and how everything kind of feeds off of that. And that's something that the Phillies, not necessarily Eichhoff, obviously, because he hasn't been here that long, but that's something they're trying to preach to these pitchers early on, you know. Keep the ball down low in the strike zone, but attack the strike zone. Get yourself set up. Get yourself into some pitcher counts. And it sounds something easy to do, but I think a lot of times these pitchers, they might try to pitch away from contact a little bit, and then you start nibbling, and then you start walking guys, and then you start thinking too much, and then it starts to snowball on you. But so far so good with Eichhoff on that count.
Broadly, what do they do with the rotation over these final five plus weeks of the season? You've written some about this. They've got a bunch of kids they want to take a look at, and look, it's easy to say toss aside Aaron Harang and or Jerome Williams, but these guys have been good soldiers. They've done their work and been a part of the club all year, and it's not as easy. It's not as easy as it may seem to just tell these guys, well, sorry, you're out of luck. How do they kind of manage those various elements in putting together a rotation over the final weeks?
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, they've talked about possibly, not necessarily publicly too much, but they've talked internally, I think, a little bit about Alec Asher, who's another one of the guys that got Nicole Hamill's deal. And maybe he should be called up in September and get a look. And if that happens, either they said they discussed a six-man rotation or, you know, keeping the five-man rotation, which means somebody like Jerome Williams might get pumped out. Now, six-man rotation actually kind of makes sense because they want to watch the innings of Nola, Eichhoff. If Asher comes up, they want to watch his innings. And Adam Morgan is coming off a shoulder injury. So they want to kind of be very careful with these guys. So in that sense, a six-man rotation does make sense. And I think the other thing the Phillies are considering or just keeping in mind is we want to bring these guys up when we're ready. I've heard a lot of fans this season say, just bring them up, just throw them in the water and see if they can swim. And in my opinion, that's not really the way to go about it. You know, you want to try to bring these kids up when you feel they're ready to be brought up and they're ready to succeed. Or let me put it this way, if they come up and they struggle, they're ready to handle those struggles. You know, you don't want to call up a guy here who's maybe pitching well in Double-A, call him up here, have his brains get beat in, have his confidence get shot, and then you try to build him back up next season. You would like to bring him up when he's ready and then just kind of let him go. So, as I look at it right now, I think Asher might have the best chance of getting called up with any of those prospects. And if they do, it wouldn't surprise me if they do a six-man rotation.
There's another place where this question comes up to some extent, and that's behind the plate. Now, it's a little different because I'm not sure how much Cameron Rupp is necessarily viewed as a long-term solution. I don't know that he's considered the catcher on the next good Phillies team, but he's hit. He has certainly done enough to say, hey, I deserve to get a longer look. And Carlos Ruiz, far, far more than Aaron Harang or Jerome Williams, is a guy that this organization is presumably going to feel some loyalty to. He's not a guy they're going to want to kick to the curb. How do they kind of manage that pairing down the stretch here?
Yeah, I think they're going to give more time, or it might make sense to give more time to Cameron Rupp. But you're right. They don't really consider Cameron Rupp to be the catcher of the future. They look at Jorge Alfaro, one of the guys they got in the Hamels deal, as a possibility. Andrew Knapp, who's just crushing the ball in Double-A right now, he's an option at catcher. I think the Phillies right now look at those two guys as their catchers on that next good Phillies team, or that next Phillies team that might make a run like they had from 2007 to 2011. But Cameron Rupp and Carlos Ruiz certainly have a place right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're both back next. Well, first of all, Chuchu signed for next season, but I wouldn't be surprised if both are back on the roster next season, with maybe Rupp getting a little bit more playing time than Carlos Ruiz. But both of those guys have value in where the organization is right now. And Carlos Ruiz, Jorge Alfaro might learn a lot from a guy like Carlos Ruiz, next season in spring training, and just having conversations with them and how to handle a pitching staff. So Chuch, while his numbers are way down, he definitely has value at this current moment.
One other guy who hopefully will be part of the next good Phillies team, Ken Giles. I mean, Ken Giles has been pretty good nearly since the day he arrived in the big leagues. But since Papelbon was traded and since Ken Giles has moved into that ninth inning role, his numbers have been even on another level from what he did before. Is there any parallel to be drawn there? Is there anything about him turning it loose now that he's the guy, or is this just kind of normal development of a young pitcher? What do you see from Giles here over these last few weeks?
Yeah, I think a lot of it does have to do with him stepping into that role. He has talked about wanting to be a closer. He hasn't shied away from it. He's a very confident guy, and it might be a little bit of that, like, all right, now I'm the closer. Now, not that he didn't do that in the eighth inning role, but I think he's an adrenaline guy, and he really enjoys that ninth inning role. He enjoys seeing closer in front of his name, and I think that might help a guy focus a little bit more, or just be a little bit more aggressive, or just be a little bit more excited. Again, not saying he wasn't those things before, but he has talked a lot about, I remember we were in Toronto when they traded Papo, and I said, hey, Ken, you're the closer. What do you think? He's like, I think I'm going to be a great closer, which you say, like, oh, wow, he's pretty confident. But, hey, you got to have that confidence. He has T-shirts written out that say, I'm all fired up, 100 miles Giles. So he doesn't shy away from any of the hype that surrounds him, which is a good thing.
To some extent, the numbers kind of say it all. He's got 100 big league innings and a 1.4 ERA. So it's maybe a dumb question, but do you think this guy is going to be, in the near future, one of the guys we talk about at that Kimbrel level? Do you think he is going to be on the very, very short list best relievers in the game?
Certainly, I think he can get to that point. We've heard Pete McCannon a few times after games, a couple times that Kenny has gotten a little bit of trouble, saying his slider just isn't there yet. His slider, I've seen his slider tighter. I've seen his slider better than it has been this season, which says a lot because he's, like you mentioned earlier, he's pitching very, very well. And so if that is true, if his slider can actually get a little bit better, if he can throw it for strikes more often, just be more successful in it when he decides to throw it, maybe he can get up to that level. So there's certainly a little bit of room for improvement. And based on his current numbers and his success, if there actually is a little bit of room for improvement, he could probably take that that jump to that next level.
All right. Well, Todd Zielecki, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.